Morgan, Rolling Hills Gin, New London, North Carolina, representing the Southeast today, just to kind of tell you how we handle our rounds and kind of some of the things we've seen. Here's one else here. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, they're supposed to be straight in line there, but the one thing rounds, they tend to put them more crooked, I think, than some of our other ones. Had a ginner actually in Georgia I talked to a couple weeks ago, said that he had finally decided that this round thing wasn't a fad. You know, everybody kind of thought it was going to come and go, and I'm like, yeah, it's 40% of what we're doing this year, and I think we're estimating about 50% next year, so it's here to stay. We think that's a good thing. Contamination and things do start with the farmer. I know y'all say don't to put them on stalks, but my guys usually mow the stalks just a little under knee high with a dull bush hog, and we have not had very much trouble with them causing that much of a problem doing them like that. But the term straight in a row evidently must be a language barrier, because I had one of my model truck drivers actually took a phone and took several pictures like that this year of what he saw before he ever touched them, before he ever picked them up. And this is kind of what we're looking at. So this is some of the challenges that we're facing, is starting there with the farmers, trying to get them to help us out as much as they can. This gap that everyone's kind of talked about is very important. I think it needs to end up at least a gap at the gin, you know, 2-3 inches or four. And in order to do that, what we've told our guys is I want them about a foot apart when they're in the field. Every time we pick them up and put them down, they get closer together. It's kind of what we've seen at our gin. So that's kind of what we shoot for, and they usually fit on the truck fine. But that is important, especially if it rains. You might not know about that in Arizona, but it rains in other places.
We don't know about Texas.
Kind of took this picture to show you kind of what a lot of people are talking about. This chain up here in the far corner, normal standard module truck chain, that's fine and dandy on the outside edges, but not what you need in the middle of the truck. We got one truck that had this generation. This is a better idea than the first one, but it's evolved on over into this other one, which I think is one of the more of approved chains. That does a really good job on the regulars, modules, and the rounds. But that's the gin's responsibility. That's the first thing the gin can do to help the contamination. We see a lot of people talking about, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done this. This is your responsibility to, like Dwayne was talking about, to the industry, to the United States cotton industry. This is your responsibility to make sure you have the proper equipment. That is the proper equipment. Not much discussion there. We've got, this is one of our problems. I think a lot of people are having very good luck handling these things with a myriad of ways, as long as they're all perfect. And we've also got to look out for the ones that aren't perfect, because my guys tend to tear them up with the truck, with the tractor, the bush hog, the second module they made this year, they hit with the new bush hog and slice the thing in half. So this is some of the things we've seen, damage before we ever get there. And this is something that we need to try to work on. Loading and unloading modules with the module truck caused some of this. One way of doing it, we've got all of our road trucks have these rollers on the back of it. I don't think all trucks have it, but it is an option on at least some. We've determined that to be a very good idea and have added them on the trucks that didn't have them. We've added them on all of our road trucks. That tends to help a little. It's not a solution. Wide trucks, like you were talking about, Sid, might be a good thing, but North Carolina roads, we already taken up most of the road with just one truck, so never would fit.
Wide roads. I said we had wide trucks.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true, too. You have wide roads, trust me, from what we've seen. This is a picture of IRG and how we handle them. There's two main pieces of equipment here. Everybody looks, boom, the Stove Run Wrapper GIS, and that is the main thing here, but I also want you to notice something here. If you'll notice the distance between that module and the side of that, and that's the same on the other side. There's also in our getting ready and doing this, we took out from what some people consider a perfectly good 8-foot module feeder, took it out and put in a 10-foot wide Kimball feeder. Why do we do that? Because if you think about it, if you look right here at this round that's leaning up against the Stover unit, you see that it's rubbing the side here. These things, I think they were talking about, you know, they start off 8 foot and they get about 8.5 or 9 foot. Well, that's with the plastic on them. When you take the plastic off, they relax out as wide as you'll let them, you know, for reason. So we decided to give everything a better chance to feed. We'd go ahead and put a 10-foot feeder in. I think that's been a good move for us. Stove run wrapper, we decided to go with it. We were looking for a one-man solution. I've got one guy that takes module covers off. I wanted one guy to take plastic covers off. First year we did similar to what they did in Arizona. We used, put them on one at a time. That took three people. And that was basically one and a half more people that I had, or that I wanted to have for sure. This is the way the stover picks it up. It pretty much completely surrounds it. And that helps us if we do have one of those banged up, damaged ones. I've seen one that I really didn't think it was going to hold together coming down the rollers out of the truck. But if it'll get to here and if the bottom half of it's in fairly good shape, this thing will just reach right up under it and pick it up, spin it around and around, and you can pretty much get all the plastic off of it. I know a lot of development went into this with John Deere in the early days, and that was one reason we also went to this. This has been looked at a lot. This is the view of my operator. And I think that's also a important thing. He's up where he can see what's going on. He can see the gap in between the first two. He can see the top. He has a pretty good view of what's happening. We have a very nice system, I think, to do this with. We still use a knife on a stick. And that seems to work really good for us. Everybody always talks about, how you're going to cut the wrap. The cut and the wrap is the easy part, guys. It's how to get it off after you cut it. Might be the problem, but you can walk by one with a pocket knife pretty easy and cut it. So this is kind of what we do. We cut it. The guy kind of, at this point in time, it's turning. I wasn't sure how videos would work here, so I just did some pictures. He kind of folds it back and forth like a flag, basically, just to make it manageable for him to hold. There again, the whole time he's up here, he can see what's going on for the whole system. If you see there beside, we've got a C&M baler. They're calling this, I think, a plastic baler for round modules. Basically, a moat baler with a small pump and a chute and a manual door, kind of just a scale down moat baler. But he just basically turns around, grabs it up with that. Uses our tramper, which is a piece of 3-inch PVC, and mashes them down in there. He does about two or three wraps, mashes a button, and it goes packs one time, and that's that. Pretty close to 100 wraps, 90 to 100 wraps in a bale. So we never touch it again. We turn around, throw it, and that's it. That's kind of what we've been handling. Makes a nice little bale there. People talked about, this is expensive. You're never going to pay for this. That's just the way we look at it is, that guy turned around and threw it. He's done with it. We pick it up with the fork truck. We never handle it twice. There's a lot of cost in handling this plastic two and three times. We're going to take that and recycle it. Last year we were able to recycle what we had. This year we should have a little over tractor-trailer load to recycle. And there's some, benefits to that and just, being a good service there. This is what we're looking for, guys. This is inside of my module feeder. I hope some of y'all have seen that, especially if you've gen round modules. This is what it's supposed to look like at the end of the day, at the end of the shift, at the end of the week, all the time. And if you ask me, mine's always look like this too. We do try to keep a check on that. We very rarely ever have any on there. And if we have a banged up, busted, most of the time it's not one that comes in round, it's one that comes in flat. It's supposed to be round. We have broken ones, naked ones, you name it. Those keep a special eye out for and double check, this and other places in your gen. This, to me, is the guy on the ground that needs the training. He is your last defense. He's the one watching it, unwrapping it before it goes in the gen. So, this guy needs to be trained and understand how important that it is. Whether that be with bonuses on everything he finds or something, there needs to be some way that you get across this guy how important, my guy, I think the world of. He does a very good job and keeps a close eye on it. This is not the place to get the plastic out. It needs to happen way before here, in the gen. So that's kind of the way we do it. We've had very good luck out of our system, very little trouble out of any of it, and I think that's the key to it as well. There's a lot of people doing it a lot of different ways, but one of my owners in the gen actually is a farmer. and he basically put it to me. We had two farmers in the county that each had two piggers at that point in time. We've got a couple more since then. And he basically said, you know, that he'd put $1 million into cotton picking equipment for the future of his farm, and what was the gin going to do? And if you're willing to buy a $3 pocket knife and that's all you're willing to do, then you need to rethink it. This stuff's here to stay. We need to do our part to keep the contamination out and do the best job that we can for the U.S. cotton industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. Before the panel leaves, we have a couple minutes for our next speaker scheduled to come up. If we have any questions, if you would, stand up and ask the questions, and if you want to direct anyone in particular, we'd be glad to entertain some questions now. Nope. Going once.
Maybe I don't have a question. I have a
go ahead.
Robert Miller, the Allenburg Guides Company. I'd like to, really like to commend this session's commitment to not product contamination of PMP by any Texas products. It's exactly what we need to do.
Thank you, Robert. Any other comments or questions?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Stephen Craig with United Ag Co-op, working here in Real Blow. I got a question for you on the Cherokee unwrapper. For the ones that are busted, does it, well, like, it's a two-part question. On the busted ones, does it have any trouble picking it up, or does it miss it? I guess, like, if the busted portion comes on the section where it actually grabs it, will it rip it up or anything like that?
There's times that you know it is.
Hold on just a second. The question was, on the modules on the Cherokee system, if they're broken, how do you...
If they're broken, I was wondering if it hits a broken piece, if it's going to miss it and slide up, or if they have any trouble with it actually grabbing a hold of the entire wrap.
Okay.
If it's misshapen.
Most times, your bucket is going to be on the bottom, where your module is from. Those fingers sticking into this, the things come down just like this. Right, where it's coming down over the side. Those spikes, they stick in. What plastic is there, it's more likely going to be down on the bottom. Right, when we pick that up, cotton is going to fall out of that bottom. But the plastic from the side is coming up with it. Now, there's sometimes that you can't turn that bottom because that bottom is that. But when you can adjust your clamp, if you're coming up, bring them in or out to bring that plastic up with you. Like they were showing here on the module feeder head. Now there is times that you may see that from some of that is underneath. But we have a window in our module feeder. I've got guys that we watch for plastic. Just like the Wes was showing there. That is our main priority, getting that plastic. Okay. And there may be times that it may slip through. But with my jitter, our console is about 4 or 5 foot from that module feeder head right behind me. We hear, we see, we smell. And when we built our gin, that's one reason I come to Texas. They took me all over Texas, and I've looked at you guys as gin. And I know some of them, the console room, or your console room isn't close, but you know, I'm deaf. I've been in cotton about 26 or 27 years. That's why I talk loud, because I can't hear. But, you know, that's something that we do watch for. And if it's on the side or up on the top, we can still pick that baby up, bring her up. And the cotton, when we flip it, roll it up, the cotton's going to fall out, and your plastic stays in your front, stuck in.
Okay.
But that, it's no problem. But, now, if you don't address it, you know, it becomes a problem. If you've got a guy sitting up there running, and you know, that's where the manager comes in, you know, you have to bring it to their attention that we're going to do it right, or you're going down the road. You know, one year I fired so many Melissa. I fired guys that wouldn't even poke the fire. And she was right in the chair and I was right in the chair. We love it, but you got to take pride. module at Unwrapper for 3 years. And, you know, I was worried about it. We looked at different modules. And you know, we have all got different modules unwrapped. And you know, one guy said, well, that won't work. Well, it may not work for you, but it may work for him. You know, I listen a lot to people. They tell me that that won't work. Well, it may not work for you, but I have to, what they said didn't work, and do a little bit more, and it'll work. Don't never say that it won't work. If a man tells me it won't work, he better pack up, hang on, we're going to make it. You know, that's the stubborn part of me. If a man don't want to tell me, it can't be done. So we're going to make it done. Technology, y'all, is great. The John Deere picker. I can't thank you enough. Y'all made my life, maybe let me live a little longer. You know, I'll tell you a story.
You got about 1 minute. You better make it quick.
First year we run that, Melissa said we had 16 inches of rain. We've been in the regular model. Y'all, I tell you what it cost. Now, he was talking about being rotten and stinking. Melissa didn't hear me on the radio talking to my guy in the office. He said, we got to do something. He's fixing to come in soon. Well, the guy that brings all of our modules into the gym, he tells Melissa, he said, let's start on the round module. We started on the round module. Buddy, we started getting cotton. My body's relaxed. I got rest. Then we went back the next day to get in the regular module. And that's what the John Deere picker will do for us, y'all. It'll make you life a lot longer.
Yeah. Hold on. Thank you. Jimmy, I got Jimmy, the questions are both sent. Jimmy's question for the John Deere was, are both ends of the flapper glued? Is that right? Is that the question, Jimmy?
Yes.
Go ahead.
There's only adhesive on the end piece, the tailor that holds it down. The inside piece is loose, although, as long as you got enough of it there, because there's tackiness to the outside layers, you know, that'll hold it all together. But if you get too close to the end, that's where the non-tacky overlaps the non-tacky. There's nothing holding that last piece together. That's the danger of cutting too close to the end.
Okay.
He's talking Thank about too close. You're talking about 4 or 5 feet. You're not talking about 4 or 5 inches.
Again, I want to thank our panel for being with us today. Let's give everybody a nice round of applause for this group.